Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Good to see everyone this morning. James chapter number 5. Praise you, Jesus. Church, I just feel the wonderful presence of the Lord in this place. Let's just lift our hands and praise Him right now. Father, we thank You this morning. We magnify You. We praise You. Hallelujah. Glory to Your name. Where would we be without You, Jesus? Praise Your name this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb of God. We're grateful today for Your blessings in our life. We're thankful today for a rich, wonderful plan of salvation. Hallelujah. Our cups are running over, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. James chapter number 5. I'm going to obey the Lord today. Anybody going to jump on board and obey the Lord with me? If the Holy Ghost moves you, I'm going to tell you what. Move. Don't wait for me to tell you to move. Move. Verse 7 and 8. How many believe that we are on the threshold of the coming of Jesus Christ in the clouds of glory to get His church and children? I believe we're there. Verse 7, James chapter 5 says, "Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." Heavenly Father, add Your blessing to Your word. Minister to hearts today. Open minds today. Just be glorified through this message. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated if you wish. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just lift our hands and praise Him today. I just want to be mindful of the Lord. And Father, we just honor You this morning and we praise You. Thank You for Your presence. Thank You for Your touch today. Thank You for the power of Your Spirit. We know that breaks and destroys every yoke and every bond. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. Jesus tells us in John chapter 10, He says, "I come to give you life and to give you life more abundantly." And I believe today the abundant life is available for the child of God. And I'm not talking about materialism, possessions. I'm talking about a rich, wonderful walk with Jesus to have peace in your heart. I believe God can put a bounce in our step. Someone say amen. Hallelujah. I believe the coming of the Lord is near. And we hear stories like the Mayan calendar getting ready to run out, and people have set a date of December the 21st here within a month. And, you know, regardless of how that pans out, I know God knows the time. And I'm not a date setter. But, friends, I believe we are living in the last days. Amen. With the nation of Israel becoming a nation once again, and the prevalence of this, the way the society is, with sin rampant and homosexuality so accepted today. And I was told of a statistic that 51% of Americans condone gay marriage. And I asked that guy, "Are you sure about that?" Because I questioned that. I'm wondering, how could that possibly be? But how many understand that it's sort of a trait of the last days? Did not catch God off guard. God's not surprised by the condition of this world. Amen. That tells me that the Lord's getting ready to come, and we must be ready. Say amen. Now notice the scripture text that I have read for you. James chapter 5. We read two verses of scripture that deals with a husbandman, fruit, and rain. And I want you to notice those three elements of these two verses. The husbandman, that's the farmer, the one that is preparing the fruit for harvest. John chapter 15, Jesus said in verse 1, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit." Brother Russell, the husbandman, I believe, is the Father. He is the one taking care of the fruit. Amen. I believe the fruit is the church. And I believe there's going to be a harvest. And what the writer here, James, is saying is that the husbandman is patient, waiting for, and look here, I hope you've not turned on verse number 7, waiting for what? The precious fruit of the earth. I want you to turn to your neighbor right now without hesitation and say, you're precious to God. We are the precious fruit of the earth. Brother Gerald, you're precious today. I tell you what, I believe that with all of my heart. I am somebody. I'm somebody that's prized to God. And this fruit, amen, He's doing whatever it takes in order to get the fruit ready. How many believe that the fruit's not quite ready, though? I want to challenge the church today. And the words that I'm going to get into here, if it steps on your toes a little bit, just say, thank God for Brother Ted. He's stepping on my toes. Amen? But we want to be challenged today, and we want to be motivated in order to be ready for the coming of the Lord. Friends, I want you to know, if you miss this, I would say you've missed it all, but friends, there's more to come. How many know what I'm talking about? Don't miss the rapture of the church. It's coming as a thief. The virgins of Matthew chapter 25, it was at the midnight hour and five were not ready. Five did not have oil in their lamps. They were unprepared. I want you to know I don't want that to come upon me, because He told the five foolish virgins that the door was shut. I want to be ready now. Can you say amen? What will it take to get the church ready? And we're going to look at this today. Someone say praise the Lord. I want you to hold your place in James. We are going to get back to this. Find Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament. The father is the husbandman, the one that's preparing the fruit. I believe the father is doing the work. This is not about man today. We don't need more man in our life. We don't need more flesh in our life. Help me understand, we need more God in our life. We need to allow the Father to cultivate in us what is necessary in order for our fruit to be ready when the harvest time comes. And this is what I want to focus on today. I want to define the fruit. We are the fruit. I believe we're the fruit, the very precious fruit of this earth, and the Lord's coming after the fruit. Now, I've quoted this verse numerous times. I want you to read it with me, beginning at verse 16. If you're in Malachi chapter 3, verse 16, say amen. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. I want to interject a comment here. You need fellowship today. You need your brothers and sisters. You need to be lifted up in the Lord. We need to gather together for worship. Amen. They spake often one to another, cultivating faith in each other. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord. Oh, how many does this apply to? And that thought upon His name. If you think upon His name, if you're captivated by His name, if you're preoccupied with Jesus as you're walking along life's way, why don't you just lift a hand to heaven right now and just praise Him that He's captivated your thought life and that you think about Him. This morning, the first thing I done when I got out of bed was lift my hands and I thanked God for another day. He was the first thought on my mind as I woke up this morning. And as we go about life's way, we need to be consumed with our mind and heart meditating on Jesus. Somebody say amen. Isaiah 26 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Him. Why? Because he trusts in Him. Amen. But he's saying here that a book of remembrance before the presence of God was recorded in behalf of those that feared God. Those that talked about the Lord. And when you get with other Christians, what should be the topic of conversation? We should be talking about Jesus. And that's not a problem. You know why? Because you can't, if you talk about Jesus, you can only say something good, because that's all it is about Jesus, is something good. You can't run Him down and find nothing bad about Him. Can't find no fault in Him. Pilate couldn't find no fault in Him. And guess what, friends? I find no fault in Him today. And when we talk about the Lord, it's got to be good. This book of remembrance was wrote in the presence of God. And here, oh my goodness, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Verse 17, this is what God the Father says, and they shall be mine. I want y'all to consider what he's saying here, saith the Lord of hosts. In that day when I make up my jewels and I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. I don't know about you, but I picture the day that he makes up his jewels, he reaches down and he scoops up his children. A trumpet's going to sound. Our Lord and Savior's going to split that eastern sky. He's going to rapture his church out of this place. The dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be called up to be with the Lord, and forever we will be with him. He said, I'll go away and prepare a place for you. And he said, and if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That what? Where I am. Say that with me. Where I am, there you shall be also. They will be mine, God is saying. I will have them in my possession, never to be parted again. Now the term used here is precious fruit. Malachi said we're jewels. I want you to think about that today. The Lord and Savior loves you enough that He paid such a wonderful price for you that He can have you to His own. That He can have you in possession. I belong to the Lord. I belong to the Lord. Hallelujah. He paid for me. He bought me. I'm His servant. I'm His slave. Glory to God. I'm a child of God. And friends, I'll be forever with the Lord. I want you to know you need to be shouting right now. Hallelujah. Let's go back to James. The husbandman is the father. He's the one doing the work. The fruit is the church, the precious fruit. The third element of the scripture text that I've read for you is the rain. The father, the husbandman, has patience as he waits for the rain. We need rain today. How many feel the dryness in the church world? Church is such a loose term today. Hard to define and describe. But I want you to know the chosen ones, those that know Jesus Christ in the free pardon of their sin and walking with the Lord and Savior, the body of the Lord in this world today is going to leave this world. And I want you to know that body don't feel at home down here. How many get uncomfortable in this world and you just don't feel at home? And it seems like you try to, when you do try to have a little root down here, it just don't stick, it don't fit. There's something inside of the child of God that just yearning and groaning and desiring to put off this old body. There's nothing but trouble down here. Can someone say, amen? I know this don't fit some of the prosperity doctrine, but there's nothing but trouble down here. I don't know about you, but it seems like everything goes wrong. I know I'm blessed. We're all blessed. Say amen. But we're not at home. And church ain't always what church should be. Amen. Come on. Church, I'm going to get on your toes right now. Our church needs to step up to the plate. But I can say this for all churches. All churches around. There's not no such thing as the perfect church as far as buildings. Amen. But the church needs to step up to the plate and be what God calls us to be. Someone say amen. Acts chapter 2, it says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God. Oh my goodness. I will pour out of my spirit. There at the day of Pentecost, what Peter was describing was the outpouring. Don't you say pour. How many times we read in the Word of God that water and rain and showers were words that were figurative of God dispensing His Holy Spirit upon His people. Glory to God. I bought me an umbrella the other day. Got it ordered. And my umbrella has a Church of God logo on it. I had to buy it. But friends, I tell you what, when it comes to the Lord, I don't want the umbrella. We can dance in the rain, brother, when it comes to the Lord. I want the showers. I want the drenching. I was thinking of my little great niece as visited my brother Keith on Thanksgiving Day that evening. And she got out there and it was fairly warm there where we was at. And she started playing in the water. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh, she's going to get wet. Oh, she's going to get wet. And then she got wet. And then she started splashing in the mud and running in the water. And then she got soaking wet. How many of you know kids love to do stuff like that? And I'm thinking, man, you're going to pack the mud in the house and all that other stuff. But she was having fun. I believe, child of God, get under the faucet. Get under the cloud as it opens up. And let Him drench you from the top of your head to the sole of your feet. Don't worry about being dignified. Hear me now. Don't worry about pleasing flesh or the world. Hear me now. But let's just get in the presence of God and be soaked and saturated in Him. There's nothing that's going to satisfy the child of God other than the presence of God. And there's nothing that's going to bring this fruit to perfection short of the very presence and Spirit of God. You're not going to do it by man. You're not going to do it by preachers. We're going to have the Lord say amen. Turn with me, oh my goodness, to the book of Matthew, chapter 16. I'll take me a minute before I get there. Can I preach for a while this morning? I feel the preacher today. I love Jesus because He first loved me. And I'm so glad that He saved this unworthy servant. But I like the fact He made me worthy. The fruit must be patient. He said, be patient, brethren. The husbandman's patient. You need to be patient. And help me recognize that we live in a world today where patience is not a very often used virtue, I guess is the best way to put it. We live in a microwave society. Now, I told you, church, I'm going to preach today, okay? I want you to understand my heart today. I want us to look to the husbandman, the Father, and Him only. We live in such a world today that everything needs to be handed to us, prepared. Thinking of how times used to be. And I can remember in my lifetime, and I'm not very old. Someone say, praise the Lord. Say amen. I'll be 50 next summer. But I remember growing up without a water heater in our home. Most of the time we did have running water. A coal stove in the living room. And if you wanted to take a bath, you ran you some water in a big cooker, put it on the coal stove, warmed you up some water, and took you a bath. Now, if our kids had to do that today, they would stink to high heaven. How many would agree with that? Say amen. And I'm sure some of you can remember times where it was even worse. I say worse. We turn the faucet, we expect hot water. We push the button, we expect our food. This lifestyle today, we live more out of the restaurant than we did in the past. Say amen. That's so easy, so convenient. The food is made, it's cooked for you, and no dishes to clean up. We're spoiled. But I want you to know, I believe that this mentality is spilled into the Christian thought in that we want to come to a house of God on a Sunday morning and we want the preacher to microwave us in the condition that we're ready to receive from God. Now the world has spoiled us. We need to have the slow cook method. Help me understand, food in the crock pot is so much better than food in the microwave. Amen. That'll preach already. Big pot of soup beans. Y'all know me. Receive from the Lord. But if we would just simmer in the presence of God. Oh my goodness. Through the week. When we come to the church house, we wouldn't need the preacher to prop us up. We wouldn't need the preacher to microwave us into condition. We wouldn't need the music to heighten our emotion to where we felt like praising Him. We would walk through the door with the power of God on our minds and in our heart. Every step would be for Jesus. And we know that we was entering the presence of God with our brothers and sisters. And oh, what a service we could have. But it seems like, don't get mad at me, it seems like it takes us 45 minutes to get our minds and hearts focused. Finally flushed out of the world. Romans 15:8. Again, I've asked you to turn to Matthew 16. Hold your place. Romans 15:4 says, for whatsoever things were written, or aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Again, patience is a commodity hard to come by today, but maybe God's working some in us. And I believe if we'll listen, God will have His perfect work. You know, the Scripture describes how that tribulation brings patience and works patience, and let patience have her perfect work. James 1 tells us, I think we need to, amen, submit ourselves and receive the patience. Someone says, don't ever pray for patience. How many have heard that statement? I don't know. Maybe we should. I want to give you five things today that I think the fruit needs, the church needs. And I could give you 50 things. But I have selected these five things, and as I was preparing and as I was studying, I've settled on these five things that the Dunville Church of God needs. And again, I could give you more and more. Help me understand where I'm coming from. But first of all, and as we approach this year end, I want to challenge the church to prepare yourself. Again, if Jesus comes in December, I'm ready. If Jesus comes before November finishes, I'm ready. How many, if He comes in January, you're still going to be ready. If He comes in February, it doesn't matter. We're going to stay ready. But I want to ask the church that as we enter this season here and we get ready to start a new year, I want you to prepare your heart. I want to challenge the church to fast and to pray and allow God to do this. Are y'all ready for this? I want to get a vision. A vision like we've never had. Now, I know this church has a vision. But I'm going to ask you to expand the vision. I'm going to ask you to allow God to get you out of your comfort zone, out of your borders, and do a work. Listen to me for a few minutes. Proverbs 29 and 18, we know this, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keeps the law, happy is he. A vision is a revelation from God. I want to take it a little further. A vision is a revelation of God. We want to know Him more. Our church needs to know Him more. And I'm not just talking about during a church service. I'm talking about being acquainted with Him that when we leave the church house, we're carrying a revelation of God with us. To go into all the fingers and hollows and families that we come in contact with. If you're with me, say amen. We need that. But a vision is more. A vision is a desire, an expectation, and an anticipation of future events. I believe God wants to work at Dunville Church of God. I know He wants to work. Friends, I want you to know God has brought us up from low places. Somebody has been here for a while, say amen. And I want you to know we're a vibrant church fellowship. I believe folks here love one another. What God wants us to do is expand our borders and reach out and have a vision and reach the lost for Jesus Christ. Number two, I believe the church needs dedication. And dedication is the act. Let me read this for you. The act of consecrating to for exclusive use. Often used in religious ceremonies. The act of devoting or giving to. And a dedication often is an address to a patron prefixed to a book testifying respect. And how many see a book or something that's dedicated to someone? I want us to be dedicated to God. The exclusive use of us being to God. If you're in Matthew 16... where I've asked you to turn, say amen. I want you to notice verse 24. Could have quoted this, could have read it in your hearing, but I want to request you to read this with me. Then said Jesus unto His disciples. As I'm reading this, friend, I want you to understand the latter rain and what it takes to get the fruit ready cannot be done without this verse. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I want to tell you plainly, we need to sell out to God. I want to encourage you today, and I'm by no means throwing stones or saying this. This is a good thing. Because walking with Jesus and taking up your cross, we gain so much by that if we only understand what it means to be a child of God. Someone say praise the Lord. John chapter 4, number 3. We need vision. We need dedication. Number 3, to get this fruit ready, we need worship. The word worship means to adore. As I was thinking of this, oh Jesus, help us today. So many times people worship a man, a preacher, a pastor. They worship a building. They admire and go to an assembly. Why? Because of padded pews. Friends, I want you to know I'm not worshiping the building. And you know what the building is? That's all of it. That's all of us and this. This is all the building. I'm going to worship the builder. How many know the builder today? I'm admiring him. And you've heard me talk many times. I notice nature and I notice things in nature. And I'm at awe at what I see because if the building is that good, how great is the builder? And if the intricacies of life and nature and the balance that we see here, my goodness, if it's that grand, can you imagine a God that could just speak it into existence in all of its intricate parts? He could just speak and there it was. And yet He scooped me as a handful of dust and He molded me into a person. And He breathed into me, applying His lips to my lips and resuscitated me. Because friends, I was once lost and dead in sins. But my God, according to Ephesians chapter 2, quickened me by Jesus Christ. By grace we're saved. It's not of ourselves. It's not by your works, but it's by the goodness of God that we not boast, but only in Him today. Can someone say amen? Why don't you just do that right now? Let's just worship Him. Admire Him. Adore Him. Hallelujah. Let your eyes be open to His greatness. Because when you see His greatness, you cannot but adore Him. You have no other choice today. He is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Number 4, vision, dedication, worship. I've got to throw this in here, although I believe our church is a church of love. I have had the comments so many times that when visitors visit here, that they're just surrounded by people and they're shown that they care. But I want you to know, we'll not be the fruit He wants us to be. This fruit will not be ready for harvest unless there's love. Now, He tells us in Mark chapter 12, you don't have to turn. He said in verse 30, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and all thy strength. This is the first commandment. How many of you love the Lord today? I love Jesus because He first loved me. All I'm doing is responding to His love. I'm the type of person, if you do me a favor, I'm forever grateful. Amen. I appreciate my friends and I appreciate what people do for me. And friends, I want you to know what Jesus done for me, I can never repay, but I can be forever grateful. Verse 31, that's the first commandment, is to love God. The second is like it. Namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. This is, there is none other commandment greater than these. And help me understand, it's all about love. You know what God put His church here to do? To love people into the kingdom of God. That's how you're going to do it. You're going to love people into the kingdom of God. And this fifth one. And friends, I can't explain this other than this is what the Lord give me. Because it's almost as if it doesn't fit. It's for someone here this morning. I believe that with all of my heart. But we need forgiveness. And we need kindness. Hear me now. We need forgiveness. And we need kindness. As our Lord was teaching the disciples to pray, we mentioned it in Sunday school Our Father who art in heaven, that prayer is concluded this way. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, our sins, as, say that word, as in proportion to, based upon the measure, as we forgive our debtors. How many are comfortable saying, God, you forgive me just as much as I have forgiven my brothers and sisters? How many want God to forgive you more than you've forgiven your brothers and sisters? But how many understand this is the measure by which we're forgiven? The Bible bears that out. And I want our church to be a church of love, of forgiveness, and mercy. I don't care who walks in that door. I don't care what their past is. I'm less interested in their past and more interested in their future. Friends, you can't change your past, and I can't change somebody else's past. But this is what I can do. I can affect somebody else's future. And the church is here to affect somebody's future. So I'm calling you as a church body to be a church of love and forgiveness. And I think if we do that, how many understand we'll be Christ-like? And again, so many things we could mention, what it would take to bring the church the fruit to fullness. But these five this morning, we need a vision. We need dedication. We need worship. We need love. And again, I can't explain it, but I believe it's for you today. We need forgiveness. And I'm going to ask you, if you're holding a grudge against someone, let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Just as Jesus is so richly and mercifully forgiving you, forgive that other person. Let's stand to our feet all over the building this morning. Friends, I feel the wonderful, wonderful presence of the Holy Ghost in this place. Can you lift your hands and praise Him right now? Just worship Him.